So, tell us about this Newman watch.
Don't know what you're talking about.
The embargo's lifted. You're allowed to talk about it now.
So obviously this morning they lifted the veil on the, I suppose, the one that most people have been excited about, you know, as much as the Grizz one got launched a few months back. Most people went, ooh, that lovely, probably never built before that and or get one. You know, we're just over 1,000 and it's a price tag that's near 30 grand and 20 grand. So, you know, it's lovely and there'll be a few lucky people in the world, but, you know, it's not exactly attainable by 99% of people. So obviously the one everyone was waiting for was the stainless steel one, which is, I suppose, the still expensive watch by any regard, but, you know, the one that, you know, anyone who's maybe seriously into watches and is lucky enough to be able to spend some money on watches can get their hands on it.
People that believe we actually went to the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was cheese and stuff, you know, and moomins and things like that.
Moomins.
Remember that, Jesus.
It was, you know, hippos went to the moon before us. It's all good.
That's it.
So they launched that, and it's, I think a lot of people were kind of, there was obviously a lot of rumours doing the rounds, you know, like folk, oh, it's going to be a kind of classic re-edition of the original Moonwatch. That was never going to happen, to be honest. I would have loved that as well, but It was never going to happen, you know, and it was everything through to, oh, it's going to be something really gaudy and kind of like awful. But actually, I think it's one of those, I think if you try and describe it, this being audio rather than a visual.
Have you actually got to see the thing in real life?
Yeah, I've had a look, yeah. Right. It's something that could certainly, if I was to describe it, it'd probably come across as quite gaudy, you know, it's like black and gold. And that could either be really cool or really horrific, but I think if most folk have seen the pictures already have kind of gone, oh yeah, that's pretty special. And they've used their kind of their new trademarked moonshine gold. Moonshine, that's right.
Straight from the southern states.
Which is, to be fair, it's I like that. To be fair, it does soften it, you know, it's not that kind of like 1980s Dallas and Dynasty Bobby Dazzler gold. It's definitely got a kind of softer palette to it, which is good for us because we'll not look like gold top milk bottles wearing it.
Exactly.
To be fair, we still will. We'll just look like slightly summer milk rather than winter milk.
Yes.
But you know, they've used that, so you know, it's that classic stainless case. I think nice points to note is the use of gold. There's quite a lot of gold in it, to be fair. You know, the bezel's got the gold, the hands are gold, the second hand's gold PVD coated, the batten markers are gold, there's the gold etching on the dial. So there's a fair amount of gold in it. But
did you not say the dial was solid gold as well?
I believe it's a gold disc that's had the treatment on it, and then they've laser etched, whatever they want to call it. I think it's ablation because etching's quite deep, I think, you know, and they've taken the detail into it. And then they've got the little detail with a little 11 instead of the batten at 11, which they bizarrely have called special number 11 batten. Well, it's not a batten, it's a number 11. So yeah, we'll let them argue over that. But yeah, it looks quite cool. You know, that's a nice little touch. It's actually one that most folk, I think a lot of folk missed it. They've kind of looked at the watch and gone, ooh, look, there's an astronaut's bum and there's 9 and there's that, you know, but they missed the 11, which is a nice little touch.
Well, our Rick is trying to push forward with this notion. It's called the Mooning Watch.
The Mooning Watch.
That's what he's trying to get to trend at the moment.
He could roll Moomin into that as well, couldn't he?
The Moomin Watch?
Yeah.
For those with lisp.
There we go. That'd be a special watch.
It's the love.
Dangerous. We're in dangerous territory. We could bleep that. We could pretend I was swearing again. Apparently, Samantha, who follows you, and she's at Red Bar London, she's made a comment in the podcast today, and she said, I should have guessed it was Dave by all the bleeps.
Well, that was your points of view letter.
Frankly, that's f***ing outrageous, but hey, there's a bleep for you.
See the pain in the arse when I have to go through silence certain bits, silence, and then drop in the sound effect.
If I said fuck, that would annoy you.
I could just take the whole lot and delete it.
Oh, that makes things easier. That's depressing. So it's a good looking piece. Obviously the case back's quite nice bit of detailing on the case back. You know, there's a lot of new features in it. It's got the Nyad lock case back on it, which is like a, you know, previously it was just a screw case back on it, which had the joys of you sometimes when they were removed you couldn't necessarily get the, you know, the engraving to sit the way you wanted it, and you couldn't get the casting or the embossing or whatever on the case back to sit, being OCD,
to line up again. Yeah.
Or they weren't necessarily even lined up necessarily from the factory, because if it was a thread, you know, it really just depended how the thread was cut in relation to the case back. But on these ones, the Nyad lock allows effectively them to tighten it up and hold the detailing centre on it. I think that first, right. I think it first came out in the Seamasters. I think it was a Planet Oceans, possibly. It was Planet Oceans Aquaterra, one of those, was one of the first to have it. But it seems to be kind of proliferating through the range now,
right,
which is quite a nice wee detail. You've got the engraving on it. They've obviously done a significantly larger number than they normally do for those things. I think they've taken a cue from the Bond, the Spectre Bond one, you know, it's like a...
That was, what, 7,007?
Yeah, I think they've done 7,000. I think some of them have been 7,007. Some have been, I think, even higher. I think possibly they've done 10,007 on some models, you know. But I think the number they've done, you know, obviously they've kept the 969 in relation to the 1969, but they've dumped a 6 in front of it. So 69, at least it's 6969, which has got some... something to it.
I'm not saying a word, you know, this time.
It's got some, yeah, you shouldn't, because I effed it up last time and thought there was more than that, but that's just because I'm dyslexic, although I'm not. I'll leave you to work it if I'm aren't. so, you know, the nice thing about it is it's, I think it's 70, just shy of 7,400, I think it is. It's like 7,370, something like that, retail UK. I think it's 7,370 UK.
You think?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Right.
Which is... more than some folk thought and less than other folk thought. A bit more premium than I think, you know, a lot of the previous specials have been in that 4 to 6K mark. You know, most of the Speedy Tuesdays were in that kind of neck of the woods as well. To be fair, there's a lump of gold in it. Mm-hmm. Not that much, but gold's not cheap these days. You know, I think there's, I'm guessing there'll be probably circa 10 grams of gold in it, something like that. So I suppose that's going to add up. Gold's not cheap per gram these days. That'll add up. You've got limited, well, you've got the fact that it's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in a box, as Omegas always do, some god-awful huge box that'll take up half your house. But I suppose, you know, as much as you think the box is free, the box definitely isn't free.
Oh, no.
Got a cool little Moonlander in there. There's no two ways about that. It's pretty cool. Nice box, and it comes with a couple of straps. It's got the, it's also, you know, it's got the new bracelet, which a lot of folk, some folk have noticed for sure, you know, that I kind of... retro inspired, a new bracelet.
It's a 70s style, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say it's basically a 70s. It looks quite like the service bracelets to a certain extent. You know, it's a bit like the 70s style. I think they've used something quite similar on possibly the Railmaster, Tribute Trilogy series watches. There was quite a similar, quite a prominent square central link on it. But it'll be the modern clasp, and it'll be, you know, it'll be solid rather than a bit tinny, but quite nice. On that there, it's obviously got the new movement in it, so it's got the new coaxial Metas certified movement, which is definitely based on the 1800 movement, but it's, you know, been reasonably significantly reworked.
Right.
You know, obviously to add in the coaxial and all the kind of new bits about it as well. So,
is it manual wind?
Still fully manual wind. Right. Yeah, I think it's. I might be entirely wrong, but I think it might be their first manual wind coaxial.
Hmm. Yeah, because usually...
I could be entirely wrong there, but I'm trying desperately to think.
Because whenever I've seen them, they've always had the rotor.
Certainly, it's the first manual wind coaxial of anything in Omega make that I'm even half interested in, you know.
Yeah.
So pretty much, I think all Seamasters are certainly automatic coaxials. Pretty much all the coaxials that have been in Speedies that they have used have been autos before, usually in the slightly bigger case ones. So yeah, I would be guessing it is. So that's the next kind of step up. So you've got the much higher accuracy and kind of finishing, and obviously with them moving to their 5-year warranty, they'll be wanting to use the most up to date pieces in it, because obviously the 18 movement was even it being a whatever 2 or 3 generations on from the 321 is still a relatively old movement technology in terms of modern technology and watches.
Internally, is it column wheel or cam?
So I can give you a little bit. Get my phone out again here, because somebody asked these questions. I prompted myself.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is to that question, because most of this stuff goes in one ear with me and out the other. I'm like, oh, it's pretty. How does it work?
Okay, how much is
forgotten
it?
That. So the question I asked was, base, and this is someone who definitely knows what they're talking about.
Okay.
Based on an 1861, but coaxial.
Right.
Haven't seen too many detailed internal shots yet to do a direct comparison. Maybe gives you a clue that they know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's silicon hairspring.
Oh.
It's got timing screws instead of a regulating arm.
Right.
So the timekeeping will be significantly more consistent and accurate and within COCS tolerances, whereas everything before had a significantly larger tolerance. It could be really accurate, but it could be not quite so accurate. This one, we should be able to make it pretty much bob on, and pretty much all of them will be the same. So there you go.
Magic. Well, that's really good.
So sounds like it's really just, I suppose the next thing, and obviously that's the movement they're using in the gold one. So I think maybe one of the nice things is that, you know, whilst, let's be honest, the gold's £26,400 because it's got a lot of gold. Nearly swore there again. A lot of gold in it, and you know, gold's expensive, as we said.
It's got
a
ton of gold in it.
That would be minorly saying it, but you know, solid bracelet, solid clasp, solid case, dial, hands. You know, it's pretty much all gold.
Yeah.
So you know, there's I don't know the price of gold, but I'm guessing there's probably 15k of gold in it. You know, maybe way off the mark there, but I'm guessing a good chunk of that money is because it's got gold in it.
Yeah.
And obviously it's, you know, it's limited and stuff. But I suppose if you take out what a seven, take that seven off it, yeah. So you're what, circa 18-19k premium for the gold one. You know, and maybe half of that, a bit more, is actually the gold. But the nice thing is though that a lot of the technology that's in that gold one, the new movement, etc., you're getting in the stainless steel one though. So it's quite a nice. It's a nice piece. I think anyone that's getting a stainless one is probably going to feel quite smug with themselves because they've got pretty much most of what the gold's got, plus a big chunk of change.
Right.
You know, good. Which means they can buy more watches, which is always a good thing.
Are you expecting... I mean, obviously you don't actually work for Omega.
God, no.
But you're our man inside. You're our watch insider of the week. So what
question is, inside what? A paper bag?
Well, two paper bags with you. In case yours falls off.
Crisp bag.
So when are they expecting these to come out, and are they expecting to sell out? Are they going to, wait lists going to appear? Are they going to be hard to find?
Well, I mean, I think a few folk have already kind of been texting going, do you know anyone that will take a deposit? No one seems to want to take a deposit. I think generally, you know, you can't talk for like smaller ADs and stuff, but I think as a general rule, there's not many Omega, you know, boutiques, whether they're, you know, kind of franchises or direct. Certainly the direct ones don't take deposits. They just don't do it. You know, they sell it effectively as it's available.
Right.
I'm sure there'll be waiting lists, whether official or unofficial. That's guaranteed to be happening. And I'm sure a few smaller ADs will probably be scalping folk for some deposits.
Well, with 7,000 across the world, do you think they're just going to go on that?
Well, I mean, you know, at one hand, you like to think to yourself, to use your phrase, a shit ton of watches, you know, of, at the end of the day, pretty expensive watches. And there's not a million people, you know, there's not too many people in the world who can genuinely afford to pay that kind of money. But then the Bond Spectre watch, which was, I think there was, what, was it 7,007 of them they did? Mm-hmm. And they sold out pretty damn sharp. You know, that was, I think, within weeks of it actually landing, it became pretty hard to get your hands on one. I mean, you can understand watches like the Snoopy, you know, a few years back, that sold out like that. But to be fair, there was less than 2,000 of them, so you know, you can understand why that number will get scooped up pretty quick. And obviously with the Speedy Tuesdays, what are roughly the same, couple of thousand units of those, and they sold out within, they were allocated within minutes, but then obviously a few get cancelled and stuff, but fundamentally they became unavailable within a day. So I would, and with the backup, with the people who might not be massively watchy people but are big space geeks or aviation geeks, or, you know,
there's whatever, another market they haven't thought
exactly
of.
They'll suddenly be those guys that like, oh no, I have to have it because it's this or it's that, and you know, there'll be a fair share of folk trying to scalp it, I'm more than sure. But as I say, yeah,
we're talking about Rick again.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it? You know, getting banned from every AD in the country.
We're trying to kick him out. We should try to replace him a couple of weeks ago.
We do that. We'll try and ban him from everywhere. Just drop the rumour in there that he actually, all the watches he buys, he does to scalp.
Pretty much.
Except the Panerai, because that was his only fail, because he did buy it to scalp it, but couldn't sell it.
Yes. Yeah, even with his family discount, he's still having real difficulty trying to shift that thing.
Is he? Penny in the pound?
Yeah. Oh, he's some boy, so
he is. Pay your bills or take it away, whatever that programme's called.
Pay your tick bill.
I personally think, you know, they've announced it, they've said, to answer your question, I think July is what they're pitching at. So they were pitching the gold to be available July, and available from July. Available from July in Omega speak probably means that as long as we let one ship out the door in July, we've met our conditions.
Yeah.
You know, but you would like to think, with it being 50th, with it being the moon and being everything, you would like to think they'd get a fair chunk of them out the door, so that at least, you know, you'd like to think at least every boutique and every AD that has access to these things would have one or two pieces, give or take, in July, you know. And across the world, I'm reckoning, you know, I don't know, maybe a couple of thousand they might get out the door. And you would like to think they would deliver the bulk of the gold ones, you know, reasonably sharply, because it's been announced 3-4 months ago, and you know, there's 1,000 of them, and you can pretty much guarantee everyone that's wanting one of those will be champing at the bit to be the first to have it.
Yeah.
So you'd like to think so. So as I say, who knows, you know, it's like, would it surprise any of us if one was delivered and the rest were delivered, like, in July, 19, whatever, you know?
Like my Apollo 8, you mean?
Aye, well, yeah. I think, from what I understand, though, they learnt a hard lesson from that one, you know, because there was a couple of pieces that get launched that would be Basel 18, and there was nothing of them until, what, effectively...
January 19.
Aye, I mean, I think I got mine November, December, you get yours, yep, maybe a month behind me, you know, and from what I understand, mine was either the or one of the first couple that landed in the UK, so, mm, you know, and, you know, UK is going to be one of their more premium markets, you know, you can guarantee that a central London Omega owned boutique is going to get a piece roughly at the same time as anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was...
Apparently we get stuff quicker than the guys in the States.
I would guess so, because, mm-hmm, I tell you what will probably affect that is the US customs are, you know, actually, I think, seem to operate as a customs as opposed to a random lottery of whether your stuff does or doesn't get checked in this country. You know, it's like the old buy stuff from abroad, and it's like, I wonder if I'm going to get a tick bill from the revenue for this when it comes in, and it's like 50% of the time you do and 50% of the time you don't.
Correct.
And there doesn't seem to be any rationale because you're going to get two items posted at the same time and one gets picked up and one doesn't.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, I think the States are pretty tight on it. And I know that certainly things like CITES over there, because the whole, you know, the anything that's got rare leather, so whether it's Ali or Croc or, you know, any watch straps, there's a thing called CITES.
Have you been listening in?
I have no idea.
Have you been listening? Because you don't know this, but we recorded a podcast with Ariel Adams.
Yeah.
Last night, not Ariel Atom or Atom Moore.
Well, that car, was it
that
ready?
That car guy. And he was talking about getting sent a watch with a lizard strap that customs grabbed a hold of and said, we're going to cut this up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, really? Is that because they wouldn't give two tosses in the UK?
No, I mean, actually the UK are getting tighter on it, but basically worldwide, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but there's a thing called CITES, which is basically like the officially accepted paperwork that basically has to go along with any skins,
right,
or animal skins that fall under any form of protection.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's to assure ethical treatment and that, you know, some guy didn't just randomly go.
Yeah, it was some kind of wildlife license type thing.
Yeah, it's basically to make sure that any kind of, I think, game or wild animal that's killed or bred, because, you know, like, it's not, you know, as much as I'm no vegan or vegetarian, it's like you don't want to think too much sometimes about what happens to these things, you know,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you want to make sure that if it's going to die to be used for something, that at least it doesn't hurt itself, you know.
You don't want to see how the sausage
is made.
That's
the moral about me, you know, that. It's like, it's unlike me. But it's like,
when did you grow morals?
What? I borrowed them. Actually, they're on tick, they're due back later today. I've got half an hour and I need to take them back.
Back to Blockbuster.
But, you know, they kind of, I've got timeshare on them. This CITES thing, I think the States catch up a lot with that,
right,
because they're pretty tight on it. And, you know, obviously a lot of nice watches tend to have unusual leathers by, you know, they're not cool leather, let's put it like that.
Yeah, stingray,
you
know, and ostrich and all kinds of stuff.
You've definitely got a lot of alligator and a lot of crocodile straps out there, you know, and Omega use plenty of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that catches it up. I think also, I suppose at the end of the day, for the time being, we're still within the European Union.
This week?
God knows. But, you know, so actually in Switzerland, although it's not EU, Switzerland's in the same trading block. So I think, you know, stuff moving between anywhere in Europe's relatively straightforward. And, you know, I think the problem is as soon as it has to go to be fair, I think China and all of those guys, stuff getting in there, they love it. Stuff getting out, that's more challenging. But the States, I think, are pretty tight. So,
yeah.
I mean, I know because I'm waiting for a strap still from a large unnamed brand. Hey, Rob, large unnamed brand. And it's absolutely nothing to do with Rob. It's Rob's tried his hardest. But basically, it was a piece that came from the States to here. And they, very cleverly, to be fair, watch comes in a stainless steel bracelet, separated the second and third strap that also came with the watch, which were of, you know, unusual
dubious
materials. No, they weren't dubious. They were alligator, I think. So they took them out, shipped the watches, which went zoom, zoom, in and out, you know, give or take a few days, arrived, and then the straps just, like, sat there, and then, oh, yeah, CITES paperwork is there, but it's not quite right. Someone, you know, put an E instead of an A, or, you know, and it's been apparently going back and forward like a yo-yo between the effectively whoever the States in the UK just trying to get these straps, and I'm talking like 4 or 5 months probably. You know, I mean, yeah, well, maybe not quite that long, but certainly months anyway, you know, not days, not weeks. And they're just like, yeah, this is the CITES hellhole, you know. And it was strange actually, I As you know, one of my little things is I quite like an Hermes watch strap, and actually most of the ones I buy are just Swift leather, regular, you know, tanned cowhide type leather. But I bought one quite recently that was, might have been ostrich, not sure. Anyway, it was one of those. And I actually had to fill in and sign CITES paperwork in the shop before they would let me take it. And they keep a copy on record and I keep a copy because apparently they can get audited and they have to show who got it, that it was stolen correctly, and that I was explained what the provenance was and where it was from. So, you know, I've never had that before. I bought plenty of straps in shops and never that, but they were like, nah, which just, they said, we've been caught out before and it's just not worth being caught out anymore.
Yeah.
So obviously that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're well off topic. I don't know, that's not unusual for me.
That's cool.
But as I say, it'd be a pretty cool piece, so yeah, fingers crossed.
Good stuff. Do you know much about the new James Bond watch? Yes, you do, and you're not allowed to talk about it. That's fine.
I know, it would be best put as, I know more than I don't know a whole lot, to be fair. I don't think anybody really, well, I'm sure folk at Pinewood will know a bit and folk at Omegle will know a bit, or very few folk at Omegle will know a bit, but I know more than I should, and that's all I should say, because, and it was basically, came about because somebody did something they shouldn't have, and...
Always the way.
A f*** up. And you can leave that in, because that's actually, you know, that's
that technical
vernacularly technical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Does that actually the other
have you heard the rumor it is a new watch and not something that currently exists in the model line?
Yes.
Cool. That's all we need to know.
Yes. but then the $1 million question is, you know, is someone like Omegle capable of making one-offs? Of course they are.
Yeah.
You know, does that mean that it might ever become a viable product? Absolutely not, you know.
And could you confirm or deny it's going to be called the Omega Seaman?
Depends whether it's wearing like a white shirt with blue stripes on it. And in a, is it in a submarine or on a ship? And how deep does it dive?
Oh, God.
Is it a ballistic missile one?
It may launch at rapid rate of knots, you never know.
And then when it lands, it's like just it's
splat.
Armageddon.
Yeah.
Do you know the other one that I did see, funnily enough, though, that you know, very few folk have talked about, and it looked really good, is the new Aquaterra, is it the World Timer? The World Timer? Seen it?
People are starting to talk about that today.
Great looking watch. The blue one looks, it looks properly good. I mean, I like it. I've got one Aquaterra, and it's a funny one Aquaterra, because it's like kind of, it's technically a Seamaster, but it's quite dressy.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Planet Ocean, is that not a Seamaster as well?
I mean, Seamaster Diver, Seamaster 300, I think Ploprof's technically a Seamaster.
Right.
I think Seamaster's anything that basically is probably get, I don't know, whatever it is. But
plus 100 metres.
Plus 100 metres, basically. It's got a dive heritage to it. So there's 5 or 6 families, I think, of Seamaster. In fact, there's more than that, because there's all these kind of small re-editions and reissues and stuff like that. But I think the main families is Diver, which is like the Pierce Brosnan style wavy dialed Seamaster. I think they're technically called Seamaster Divers or Diver Professionals. The Seamaster 300, because I always get confused when someone explains to me recently. But the Seamaster 300 is like the Spectre watch, the watch that with the smaller one that was worn in Spectre.
Yep.
That's the 300. Which is confusing, because the other one's also a Seamaster and it says 300 in the dial, so you're like, oh, for sake, man. So that's those two, and then you've got Ploprof, and then you've got Aquaterra in there, and then there's a couple of little subfamilies and stuff, but that Aquaterra is definitely a little bit more dressy.
Yeah.
The Aquaterra is also the one with the big, I think it's the 15,000 gauze anti-magnetic rating, I think, which was probably been beaten now, but I think it was the one that kind of showed the Rolex Milgauss how to do gauze properly, because I think Milgauss, I think, although that was the original kind of anti-magnetic watch, I think it was 1,000 or 1,500, I think it was based, somebody told me a story one day about, I think it was based around, it could survive an MRI scanner, which I think is about 1,000 mil or 1,000 gauss or something like that, but the Omega one is 15,000, but I'm sure there'll be someone out there who's done one that's a lot higher than it, or probably not that high. 15,000 is quite high, but you know,
or just use a silicon escapement.
Well, that I think that was a big part of it, wasn't it? That was, I don't know whether it was the first, but it was, I think, certainly one of the first mass produced Omegas that you could buy at a reasonable amount of money that did have the silicon, balance. I think it's silicon balance and hairspring, I think it is, in that. So that one's, you know, that was, and it's. Also, I think it's got that gauge protection without having a big lump of
iron
metal,
ore.
You know, yeah. So it's a quite a light, quite a thin watch, etc. on it, you know. And the but that world timer in the blue, that's a good looking watch. I mean,
was that expected, or did that just come out of?
To be honest, I think the two Speedies were the ones everyone was like, or not the two, the Gold was out there already, but the Speedy was the one everyone was like literally dribbling about. But I think the other ones I've seen, so they've got that one popped out, looks really good. It's funny, like they've issued it on a blue rubber and they've done it in a bracelet.
Uh-huh.
Looks good in the bracelet, but you know, I'll quite often buy a watch in a bracelet, and the first thing I do is take the bracelet off. But it's kind of like value for money for some, even though I don't use it, and I don't sell my watches, so it's not really value for money, to be fair. But I buy them in the bracelet because it's usually what, a couple
Me and
hundred.
Rick, we're talking about this. It's like, as if you're collecting and hoarding all these watches, and then you're going to have some end game where when you hit 60, if you last that long,
60,
then you're
going to, big man, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Is it? Okay, you hit 55.
Yeah, three things will happen before then. I'll die. I'll get killed, or I'll get killed and die.
Okay, I like your logic with that.
It's going to happen.
It is.
It's fate.
So we think you've got a plan where you're going to like just offload all these watches in the one go, do a Tim Mosso, rake in millions of pounds, and then
collapse
piss off
the
somewhere.
I'm going to collapse the market.
Is that what you're doing?
That's the plan.
So you're the guy buying up all the watches just now before Brexit?
I'm just going to collapse the market.
Right, okay.
Or I don't know, the thing is, where am I going to fuck off to? It's like I'm Scottish. Describe me anywhere in the world that's got a temperate climate that's wet half the time, occasionally gets a bit of sun.
Do we not like going to Spain usually? Is that not where the master criminals go off to?
It's nice to go on holiday, but after 2 weeks and you're like a bloody orange crocodile or some kind of like burnt lobster, what's the first thing you want to do? Is you want to go back and be miserable in the rain, don't you? So like to go there full time would be pretty miserable.
A lot of people go to Australia, a lot of Scottish watch guys are over there.
What, crooks?
Hi Jody.
the ones that get deported.
Yeah, we've played that joke before, yes.
To be fair, you like roll out them, don't you? They're crap, but it's true.
It is true.
It's like, you know, it's like every other country in the world, isn't it? They're all rubbish.
They're all.
Including here.
They're all shit. If it's not like Scottish, famous, it's crap.
It's like that famous little sketch. There's a little sketch from Simpsons with Groundskeeper Willie, where he's shouting out the window, and he's like shouting about how every other country in the world ruined Scotland, and his final line was, "Even Scotland ruined Scotland." It's true, though.
It is true.
Yeah, but equal opportunities, kind of just...
Hatred and piss-taking, equal opportunities. That's what this podcast is about as well.
I mean, it's got to be self-refacing as well, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're all idiots.
Totally.
So, actually, the biggest idiot's not here.
No, he's
actually, we've just upped the IQ coefficient by...
We have.
By what? 0.1%.
We've changed the median IQ of the podcast.
Yeah, not by a lot, to be fair, but
not by much.
It's now skimming just above zero.
It is. Well, you've brought something with you today on your wrist.
All right. Okay. Yes. That's going to be a dangerous question.
Not an STD.
Sound the same.
Not this time. Oh God.
That's not good in that avenue. That could involve a conversation I had to have with like somebody recently about their. Oh, you're good at it as well. Their overactive use of Tinder.
Uh-huh.
Aye, I think he's keeping the clap clinic at his home and been business like.
I don't like this reputation. It's building slowly about me. This is
it's not building slowly.
This is not true.
It's not true.
I'm just meeting friends.
But are you? Aye, meeting friends.
I'm expanding
for short 1 hour windows.
Well, that's how long the podcast lasts.
Yeah, when did it become socially acceptable to book hotel rooms for an hour?
I do not know. You tell me.
I've never done it, my friend. Wouldn't know what you're talking about. No idea.
So anyway, you're diverting the conversation from the Russian import.
So this is something that I have actually wanted for a lot, literally since the first time I saw it.
Right, okay.
For no other reason than, it's like, I don't know, pretty would be the right word, but it's very pretty from a technical aspect and looking at the way it's been done, but it's just got a complete irreverence to it. And I love the fact that when it was first launched,
Can we tell people what it is?
Yeah, of course you can. It's the... you're going to make me pronounce it, aren't you?
Go for it.
Right, hang on. I'm going to have to...
You're going to read it?
Of course I'm. I'll get no chance. Right, Chaikin's his surname. First name. I'm like... It's like Mr. Russian Chaikin. It's Konstantin, I think it is. Whether that's... It's definitely K-O-N-S-T. Konstantin Chaikin.
Shaking back.
No idea, mate.
No idea.
Watch. We can't say you know. We can't say medium. It's medium.
We can say loch. We can say mogai.
No, it's not that we can say loch. It's just no one else can.
Ah, right, okay.
We can say mogai, aye, that's right, yeah. We can. Aye. It's like Milngavie for you.
Milngavie.
Milngavie.
Strathaven.
Or Milngavie.
Oh, God.
What's that even? Aye, sounds like some Brigton. So, Brigton? That's actually Brigton. We like to remove letters and add letters that aren't actually there, just to confuse everybody.
Pretty much.
Aye. So, it's the Joker.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, 2017 SIHH, I think it was, that kind of, I think he's been about for a while, but kind of, that was, I think, one of the first pieces that hit the kind of more mainstream, and I think it hit it because it probably was pretty different to everything else that was out there.
Totally.
And it's, hopefully, to be fair, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just literally Google Joker watching.
Look at show notes.
It'll come up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look at show notes. No, but we know no one.
Nobody reads the show notes.
Maybe because they can't read.
Oh, there's pictures, guys.
They can do numbers.
They can listen to stories.
They can listen to stories. For an hour. They can do numbers up to 12.
Right. Yeah, because that's how. Yep.
And but the minute hand, they don't know what that does. Just up to 12, right? And they can do pictures.
Pictures. Words. That's why everyone's on Instagram, I suppose. Pictures.
Pictures, exactly. You know, okay. And that's why it's all hashtags. You know, it's like simple.
Simple, small things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Carry on.
So carry on. We're going to edit that bit out.
No, that's staying in.
That's staying in. Sounds reasonable.
We're professionals. We'll keep all the good stuff in because Rick isn't
incompetent.
Professionally incontinent as well most of the time.
That's why Rick's not here. he's not here because he pissed himself. And Rick's like, you're not sitting on my sofa.
Oh my God. I wondered why he's still got all the plastic coverings in his seats.
Aye, that's nothing to do with pissing himself.
Well, he's bending himself shortly.
He's banned from Tinder.
He's banned.
apparently one kill's okay, but in more than that, they get a bit upset.
They don't like the cereal part of it.
Exactly. That's the one. But, I kind of love the relevance. Irrelevance is irrelevant as well. I'm irrelevant, but it's kind of the irreverence of it. It's just a piece that when I saw it, I was like, I loved it from a point of view of it's a proper watch.
Yep.
To be fair, anything. There's lots of proper watches, but it's a proper watch. It's well made. And, you know, there's a lot of time and effort from him, from although it's based on a relatively, you know, standard ETA workhorse movement, it's been pretty well rejigged top to bottom, and then he's had to kind of add his own modules to control the moon phase and to control the kind of effectively separate hour and separate minute, kind of, which are the eyes, so to speak. And it just makes me chuckle, and that, you know, obviously the eyes go from kind of looking slightly perverted and slightly kind of looking down, or they can be looking up as if they're sighing, or they can just look like he's
Harvey Price.
Aye, or it could look like he's just had way too much Thunderbird or Mad Dog. And, and funnily enough, the thing that I just didn't, I before I'd ever seen one, I just assumed that the tongue was the seconds.
Oh, did you?
I don't know why. For no other rationale than reason, I was like, oh, okay. But it turns out it's moon phase. So obviously it moves, obviously.
On your one it is,
No, I think it
was
it
day and night on the vampire.
Oh, that's right, it's the vampire. But I think the original Joker, which was originally done in the steel case, and the kind of titanium one was moon phase. But yeah, I think there's been other complications because he's the one with the teeth that come down and various things. So there's been other subsequent complications added. But it was the classic one that was kind of my thing. And I also love the colours of it, like the green and the red. And, you know, it's something.
Photos don't do it justice.
They don't. To be fair, like so many watches, there's very few, like it's like trying to take a picture of a watch with an enamel dial, and it's like, oh, it's pretty, but then you see it and you go, oh, it's beautiful, you know, and it's like Grand View, you know, or any sunburst, it's almost impossible to get a proper depth. Well, I suppose that's what you don't get from a photo, you don't get depth perception unless you're into all your fancy, what do they call those, you know, those depth perception cameras, but then you can take a picture and look at it, but when you put it on the internet, it doesn't make any difference because
people are looking at things in phone screens and sunlight.
It just doesn't quite work. But as I say, you get some of the detail on pictures like on it, but it's like anything. It's like most watches when you start sitting just staring at it, and it's actually funny. It's a wee bit like who was it? It was one of your guys you had on recently. Now who was it that was saying it about talking? Sometimes you can't see stuff in front of you.
It was Nick from Fierce talking about Rolex.
Nick was talking about Rolex, wasn't he? That's what it was. He was saying that, you know, sometimes you actually have to do the kind of 2 feet or 3 feet test, the arm's length test. And it's a bit like that, you know, arm's length, you're kind of like, definitely a face, but the closer you get, you're like, oh, look at that, look at that. Mm-hmm. And it's like the little playing cards round about it, you know, and the fact that they're done in, you know, the case is kind of brushed, it's matte, and then it's also blackened titanium, you know, and it's like quite detailed work on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just lots of little bits in it. I mean, you look at the eyeballs, you actually look in the eyeball, the white part of the eyeball is like kind of concave, not concave, convex.
Right.
And but then the little eye dots on it are further on top of it, so they've actually got a kind of three-dimensional aspect to it as well. I just think it's a great piece, and it's like, it's probably one of the few watches that once I've got, I've thought, oh, I should have got that like way earlier. You know, in terms of like, I should have actually listened to myself back then and just gone, no, that's, get one.
Right.
And most you know, my attitude to watches is like, you're going to get it, you've got to wear it. But, you know, a lot of them, and I do wear my watches, but a lot of them, you look at them and you go, really nice. But, and it's, there's an emotion there, but it's like, yeah, it's nice and I like it, but it's not like visceral.
Yeah.
And that's whenever I actually genuinely laugh every time I look at it. And it's like one of the few that I'll look at, not to look what the time is, just to look and go,
just admire it.
That's a pretty thing.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose it's maybe a wee bit like a, you know, like an engagement ring or a big stone, a big rock. Like, you know, you just look at it because you're like, that's pretty, you mm-hmm. know, and that's very much what I get. And
it's like, if you've got a car you love, you'll always look back when you've parked it.
Aye. Or you'll sit, exactly. Or you'll look out in your driveway and you'll just daydream for 10 seconds
yeah.
and have a look and have a wee chuckle and go, yeah, that's mine, and you walk off. Or whatever you're into and whatever you own, you'll kind mm-hmm. of chuckle about it and that'll be your thing, you know. And so, as I say, yeah, I really, really like it. And it was actually by fluke, because I probably about 6 months ago decided, do you know what, that was maybe a bit longer than that, whatever, middle of last year sometime, whatever, I was kind of like, oh, I really want to get one. I'd probably seen it on the usual story, flicking through some winter internet site, watch internet site, just for clarity.
Okay.
And found a picture of it and had a laugh, and I was like, oh yeah. And I was like, ah, do you know what, screw it. And I then googled and I found his website, and his website's amazing. It's in Russian, he's Russian obviously, but it's got a little English flag, click it, and it's like properly done in English as well.
Oh,
so
right.
Really good website, kind of following through it, reading up about it and reading a bit more. And I had a kind of very brief chat with them at QP last year. That's probably around about when it started coming back into my thought process. And then obviously I've done a couple of specials, and I thought, oh, contact, right? Send them an email.
Uh-huh.
I just was like, hey, you know, I'm pretty sure the steel ones are sold out, but, you know, because it was well reported that the 99 pieces of steel that he did when they were gone.
Right.
But he'd done it in titanium, he'd done 88 pieces, and I was kind of like, is there any left? Just let me know.
Okay.
And it was nothing more than that. It was just literally, hey, are these available? And probably a week went by and nothing. And then just randomly woke up one day and you know, I have no idea what the time zone is there, but I know it's not the same as us. And that came in and there was an email there. And it was like, hey, sorry about the late reply type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really sorry, but actually not all of those are, you know, they're not all produced yet, but they're all taken.
They're all allocated.
Accounted for.
Right.
The only thing we can do is we've got, I think he calls it the kind of atelier pieces, and he says we do a custom program. He said the only downside is it's pretty long waiting list because it's a one-off and I have to fit it in somewhere, and they are quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I just kind of was like, well, okay. I tried, but no can do.
Uh-huh.
And I had a look, and there's a couple floating about second hand, and I was kind of like, not sure. And I don't know what, for no other reason. I don't know why, but you know, it's not vintage, is it? You know, it's just somebody. And there was generally a price premium on them, shall we say? You know?
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, yeah, and it's like, not that I don't want to feed that, but I was just like, no, fine, whatever, just. For whatever illogical reason, I decided not to. But then, a month ago, 2 months ago, the joys of Instagram floating through. You know, it's like they definitely listen. By the way, I'm telling you, like, you know, everyone tells you, don't they? Like, you're talking with somebody about mates, and you look, and there's an advert for it.
They do.
Definitely
totally.
Happens, right?
It does.
It's like they don't do it. Aye, they do. They do something. Whatever they do something better than I do it, and that's why they're rich. But hey, they do something. And then it was this called. Literally not for wanting to plug him, but he was a nice guy. It was called The Limited Edition. And he's a guy, his name's Pedro. Pedro, that's terrible. No, I'm terrible, man. I'm terrible with pronunciations. Let me just get this right. I'm looking it up again. This is terrible. Pietro. I can never say it. P-I-E-T-R-O. Pietro? Pietro. He's Italian.
Pete.
Probably.
Pete.
So, And basically what he's done is he I didn't know, never heard of him, looked, he basically seemed to kind of be a trader, dealer in unusual pieces, limited mm-hmm. edition pieces, looked in his little site, and it was very much like, you know, brands you've heard of, but you're like, I have no idea where to buy one of them. Bit like Renaissance, like HYT, like Shacking, you know, lots of brands like that, where you're like, you know of them and you're conscious of them, but you're like, if I actually wanted to go to a shop and buy one of them, where would I go? I have no idea, you know?
So it's a gallery boutique.
So I suppose so type thing, you know, and he specialises in these kind of like real small batch, small manufacturers. Uh-huh. And I dropped a message on Instagram, nothing. I was like, all right, okay, whatever. You know, and I don't know, God forbid me for saying this, but you know, was that, there was a wee bit in your head, was, oh, is this legit or is that a scam? Yep. You know, and I was like, then no reply, and that was kind of like, maybe. And then actually I happened to be looking in his website and scooping about, and I sees that he actually was listing as having one new mm-hmm. titanium Joker. I was like, all right. And then I found the old infamous contact us button on the website, and I thought, maybe he's just no good at social media, because to be fair, there's plenty of folk that are on social media that don't really know how to use it. So
the tech.
There's loads of them, you know. So I thought, right, okay. So I just dropped an email, and actually, almost immediately back, hey, yeah, no problem. Yeah, we do have one. And I was like, okay, cool. And I was like, where are you based? And he's like, oh, kind of just north of London. You know, we're not a shop. We're mostly an online platform and a face-to-face kind of personalised service, I suppose. And I said, well, you ever in London? And he was kind of like, yeah, I go down quite a bit. And I said, well, forever about the same time, any chance we could meet up and, have a chat about having a look at one? Yeah. I was like, yep, no problem. And a date came up, and he then said, oh yeah, I used WhatsApp, so stick me on WhatsApp and I'll message you when I've got some dates. And right. Sure enough, he did. He messaged me, hey, would this date work or that date work? And I was like, oh, I can make that date work. And he said, okay, I'll bring down the piece and you can get a look. And then, yeah, cool. And I was like, where do you want to meet? And he's like, oh, we use the Lansdowne Club, and that's, I'm a member there. And I was like, okay, he's either a really good con man, because he's a mezzanine, or this is entirely legit. And I was kind of leaning towards the probably more legit than not at that point.
Yeah.
So I thought, go along, what got to lose, you know? And went along, he met me, brand new, lovely guy, just very, very straightforward, very honest. His background is he's worked in the kind of Swiss watch industry for, I think he said, circa 15 years plus. And basically just get tired of the corporate.
Uh-huh.
And basically went, said, he's quite entrepreneurial, he said, and I just wanted to do my own thing and be able to do my own way. And he kind of basically decided to do that and went his own way and started talking to these brands. And
I was about to say, is he a grey or is he authorised?
No. He's tried to make contact with these people to say, hey, I would like to represent you officially in, you know, the UK or in Europe or wherever I can. I want to kind of help you establish. So I believe that with HYT and with Jackin and a few other brands, he's kind of like there. Probably agent would be maybe a more appropriate term. You know, he's kind of like a
small scale
agent.
Distributor.
Yeah. So he'll hold a little bit of stock and stuff, and he kind of because he's been in the Swiss watch industry, kind of gets how things work, and he's just really selling pieces through, I suppose, probably networking with a small number of people that, you know, not that I'm absolutely not one of them, but you know, like a lot of his clients will be, you know, in private individuals of high net worth, shall we call them, who want to stay under the radar, and but you know, want someone that can basically do all the donkey work for them.
You have an agent in the middle.
Basically they're like, I want one of them, go get me one. And he's like, I'll go get you one. And he does a bit of that, but you know, he had one, so met him, had a look at it, and like honestly, like he sat there and the box was sitting there, and we met and we were having a coffee and we're doing the pleasantries, just chatting to the, you know, shooting the breeze.
We call it foreplay.
Talking shite. And you know, there's this box sitting there, and it's just like, it's like trying to keep attention. I was like, it's like the Hoggle Man, you know, it was like the ring out of bloody what'd you call it? You know, the ring, it's precious.
Uh-huh.
I just kept looking at it going, I can open them, I can box. But sitting there and we're talking away.
So you'd never seen the watch before this? Seen it online?
I'd seen one at QP in the cabinet, and I'd got a quick chat with them when they were there. But I was kind of like, that night I was just having a look around and stuff, and you know, I was like, I don't really want to get involved in a full scale chat. I had a look at it and like, I was like, that's lovely, and that was it, kind of. But I've never really had a hands on, direct in, face-to-face, one-to-one, and a bit of time just spent looking at it and not be... And those shows aren't great for that because there's a million people want to talk and everything. So, you know, and I, as much as me, it's like some folk do hog the time. But then when you're kind of the one wanting to get a quick hello, you're like, come on, mate, hurry up. And I don't like being that guy kind of sitting there.
Yeah.
So, and I wasn't at that point, I wasn't actually probably tuned into like, do I want one or do I not want one? I was like, so it's just like, I looked at it and it was great. But that was the first time I was looking at it. It's like, and it was still the same though, the visceral thing. It was like, as soon as they opened the box, it just had this grin in my face. And I was like, oh man, yeah. And we got talking and he's done, you know, he's done the special one. I showed you the picture. Maybe I'll give you a copy of that picture. You can put it in the show notes.
That'd be good.
Show notes that no one reads, but hey, we'll put the picture up. And he's done a run of, I think he said it was either 30 or 60 pieces that he's done. Joker, but in like a kind of dark purpley blue.
Pantone did show me colour. That photo. That looks awesome.
And they're his. He's committed, and that whole run, he's getting. And he's, if you want one, that's the only place you'll get them is through the kind of limited edition, basically. And I think he said he's sold 35 or 40 of them so far. I think he said he's only had 10 or 15 delivered so far, but that's what he's done. And so, you know, he's trying to establish that as a brand that's maybe got a bit more than it has now, shall we say, you know. Mm-hmm. It was cool. And I just was like, do you know what? I could say no, but I just know what will happen is I'll say no. And, you know, the purple one was lovely and I could have got a purple one because he said to me, there's purple available. We could get you one probably within a few months. But it was like, and I actually said to him, I said, it's really nice and I love it and no disrespect to it. But to me, you have to have the original one. It's like, it's the steel of the tie in the original colour. And then if you got into the brand, you'd maybe go, okay, I got a purple one as well type thing. But I was like, no, my first one has to be that original one. And I was like, and he, you know, he showed it. He's like, the warranty card's there. It's brand new. And she's like, you know, the first thing you do is you check the strap, bang round holes, never been on a pin buckle, you know, the whole shebang. And it was like, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
And it was that slightly irrational, probably should have thought about it for a couple of days. I would have still, I can tell you now, I would still have got it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, no, it was like, the internal voice was like, go on, big man, just do it. And I did it and literally like...
Shake leg if you don't.
I literally walked away with a full FFG down the street with it, you know, just like happy days. And it was like, it literally was like the kid at Christmas wanting to get back somewhere. It was literally like, how not to open a box with a valuable watch on the underground, which was probably I was like, resist, don't open it on the underground, don't be an idiot. But then it was like, as soon as I got somewhere I could, I was like, open on wrist, and that was on the wrist from yesterday. And actually, it's been on my wrist since then.
I would have just put it on my wrist when he showed me it.
Oh no, you see, I was kind of like, I was seriously tempted, but my inner OCD was like, oh, check it first. Sorry, that was probably whispering, but I literally was like, nah, that was just me. But I was
gagging for it.
I was going to say ganting for it.
Ganting for it.
So there we go. So yeah, so love it. And it's funny, I've already had a couple of folk who've kind of like, did you get it? I was like, yeah. They're like, bring it to the next one, I need to see it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. And it's funny actually, Can, who's one of my fellow guys at London who does organising at London, sent me a message actually completely unrelated a couple of weeks ago. And he's like, his brother's not into watches. And he's like, oh, my brother's want to get a nice watch though. He's got two things in mind. And I was like, all right, what are they? And it's like, one was a Patek 5.7 and one was a Joker.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, well, there's two entirely different timepieces.
Yes.
But I suppose it shows you, I think it's one of those watches that you'll probably rarely ever see, but it's held in quite a high esteem. You know, like everyone that's into watches is like, well, I know that. They know what it is. They're like, oh, I know what that is. You know, so it's quite nice. I'm under-egging that. I'm like ecstatic.
It is lovely.
Yeah. It's horrific. See, he's gone cross-eyed now.
Vinegar strokes.
Exactly. Well, he's got a big tongue, big man. But, you know, it's like, it's just, I've got a funny feeling it's going to be a piece that I'm going to literally wear a lot.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to wear it. It's going to get a lot of wrist time. But then I think it's going to be one of the ones that when I take off and start wearing other things, because I feel I have to.
Mm-hmm.
I'll kind of build it, you know, that way you're like kind of picking something else up, but you're looking at it late in the morning. It's going to be a bit of that going on. So yeah, well pleased with it.
Good.
Anyway, that's enough self aggranding.
Stroking. Yes.
Can I stroke a Whistler? Need tweezers, man.
Well, you're a small chap. So what's next?
Small chap, small feet. Next thing. So
Well, Red Barry things, we've not really talked about that.
What's coming up? Well, there's a few things coming up then. So, obviously, what have we got? So, in London next week, we've got a unions event. You know, we've got something there. It's looking good. I think we're verging on being over capacity with numbers as usual. So, that's good. It's going to be a full house. I think there'll be best part of 80 to 100 people at that. So, that'll be a full gig. And that's with Monica, actually, who was with us up in Glasgow at the Miser Singer event.
From Blue? Sorry.
Yeah, Blue Watch Company. She represents a few kind of mostly German brands within the UK. So she does Youngins as well. So we're doing that with her. Then the week after, the same week actually, 23rd. So that's Wednesday 22nd, does that sound right? Wednesday 22nd, whatever it is. The Thursday, we're up in Edinburgh.
Right.
And we've got the Oris event. And with that Oris event, that's they're bringing up kind of their Basel pieces. Pardon me, and quite a few folk are pretty excited about that.
Definitely. Saw them, they were great.
I love Oris as a brand. Yep. You know, it's like you can't, I mean, honestly, don't trust anyone that doesn't like them. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone can't find something, it's like the old phrase, it's like, you know, if folk don't like dogs, don't trust them. It's like if they can't find at least a couple of pieces in the Oris range that they don't like, you're like, I don't trust you anymore. The red one's beautiful. You know, they've got a few real cool looking pieces this year. So we've got that. And then
New York.
A few other things. Obviously, New York, for anybody, the details are everywhere. Check any Red Bar Insta account, you'll find details about it on there somewhere. That's in September. I know that we've got a reasonable number going from the UK. London, Sam's going. Adrian's going along. I think Tom's desperately trying to convince his girlfriend that she should go and see New York.
Do you think Rick will go?
Eh?
Do you think Rick will go?
It's not so much whether he goes or whether they let him into the States.
I'm hoping they just detain him when he's there and they don't let him back.
On the way in or the way out?
On the way back.
Thing is, you don't want him detained on the way in, because on the way in, they just kick you home. They put you back in the plane. No. That's no good. The way out...
He needs to commit a crime while he's there.
And be detained
indefinitely.
And actually, what we need to do is we need to make sure that he does two really minor things first, and then that's his third crime, which is an automatic life sentence in the States, isn't it?
Right.
And that old, was it? Three strikes.
Yeah.
Three strikes, no strokes, that's different.
Three strokes is something we're not going to talk about right now.
Three strokes is over keen. But there's that. But then, one to look out for, certainly with the Red Bar Scotland guys, is genuinely can't say much, but back end of June, if you keep your eyes out, I think probably send it out next week. There'll be a save the date coming out.
Okay.
If you're Red Bar Glasgow, Edinburgh, you do want to be there. It'll be...
Are you still accepting new members?
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, it's like London's now at some ludicrous number. It's like we'll never even find an event that we can get everyone in. But it's like anything, you know, it's like a proportion. You get the hardcore and you get a proportion that come along. But I think Glasgow's got verging on a couple of hundred registered now, I think.
Right.
And I believe that... Edinburgh's 120-ish, 130, something like that. So I'm sure there's a bit of crossover between them. So probably we could probably conservatively say there's somewhere between 175 and 225 unique Red Bar members in Glasgow, Edinburgh, which, you know, I think is, you know, considering that Glasgow and Edinburgh between them will struggle to get, 1.5 million population probably. You know, that's a decent number considering London's, oh God only knows what London is these days, 20 million people, more than that, I don't know. And I think London's got 700, 800 members. You know,
wow.
New York's got, I think, 600 members, and God only knows how big New York is, but it's bigger than London. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think proportionally, they're doing pretty damn well.
Yeah.
And we get good turnouts. You know, we can fill a 70, 80 person event without fail. You know, like I think we've got the Oris ones full, and the one that we're going to do coming up in June. And I really nearly just said what it was there. That was close. that's going to be cool though. But that's something with a significant big brand, and it's going to be something that would normally those guys will default to London.
Mm-hmm.
If they're doing it in the UK, it's just like it's London. And for one of their kind of new marketing managers, basically going, no, let's do something different and kind of just get a better rapport going with them, and to actually kind of trusting that we'll not drop a ball and three folk and a cat will turn up, you know. And to be fair, there'll be a lot of cats. It will be like herding cats, but you know, I think there'll be a fight amongst the members, because I think we're going to have about maybe 70, 80 places, so I'm pretty sure it'll
I can't wait to try on some more Richard Mills. It'll be really, really good.
Sweetie watches,
candy collection,
flumps. You should do a Moomin watch. I'm thinking about that now. I've got Moomin's in my head.
Your man there, shaking. He could put a Moomin's face in that.
Maybe
with
just
the eyes.
Or Oh, no, do you know what would be better? I've got a better idea. South Park, Sexual Harassment Panda.
Didn't see that episode.
Have you never seen Sexual Harassment Panda?
No.
You need to watch it. It's probably one of the defining moments of my watching of South Park.
Okay, I will look into this.
So it's a guy that dresses up in a panda outfit and goes into school and scares the kids about sexual harassment by being a panda with teeth. It's quite impressive. It's like only the properly warped mind come up with it. And he sings a little song. It's great.
Okay, that is the cultural reference of the week.
You need to get a picture of him up in the show notes.
Will do. I will search that out. Right. Well, that's us running to an hour.
Hell, is that an hour? Oh, sorry, I swore again. Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
I've actually, at work, I've developed the ability to use the word Jeremy now.
Oh, good, good.
You know, the problem is now that everybody's Jeremy, it gets really confusing. You know, it's like, Jeremy, come in. Jeremy. They all look up at that point, they're like, what are you all looking up for? I'm like, you call all of us Jeremy.
Was it you that told the story about someone filling in forms about customers and putting the customer name as Jeremy?
Maybe.
Okay, right. We hear so many stories these days.
Jeremy's brilliant.
That is. Good. Well, thanks again for popping over and having a cup of coffee and talking watches.
Right, what's the thing we need to talk about that he usually does when we go out? You're going to say bye. Do you say bye or he say bye? How does that work?
Right, hold on.
He says bye. Does he say goodbye and you saying goodbye for me, or is it the other way around?
Let me think. He says, I don't pay attention.
Who says it first? This is the way to work it out. You can tell, by the way.
He says,
apparently, our IQ's gone back down again, by the way.
He says something like, it's goodbye from me.
And you're saying it's goodbye from him too?
Yeah. Right. So I'll say, so it's a goodbye from me.
You realise that we're going to f*** this up, don't you?
I can edit. Oh. Right, so I'm going to say, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Okay, ciao.
Bueno. Well,